capitolul 26, versetele 13 și 14. Suflarea lui înseniază cerul, mâna lui străpunge șarpele fugar și acestea sunt doar marginile căilor sale și numai adierea lor ușoară ajunge până la noi. Dar tunetul lucrărilor lui puternice, cine îl va auzi? Amin.
I don't know how many of you understood what my friend Julian said, but I did not. And I helped set it up, and I even told him what to say, and I still didn't understand it. That was Julian. He's a member here at Northridge Church. He's a member of our church family, and he was not speaking English, in case you were confused. Okay, your ears aren't broken. He was speaking Romanian, which is his native language. Did you know that Romanian is spoken by about 26 million people? That's like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa all combined together. 26 million people, mostly in the countries of Moldova and Romania, speak Romanian. But not only that, it's actually most closely related to Italian. So if there's any Italian speakers in here, you may have picked up a couple words, but it's listed as one of the Romance languages like French and Spanish. Now, I didn't understand it. Maybe you got lucky and you kind of understand it. I know Julian's here, so he understood it because he was reading it. But if anyone else understood it, great job. You knew the language, therefore you understood it and knew what we was reading it. For all the rest of us, you heard it, but it was probably very hard to listen to it because you didn't comprehend it or understand it. And so let me help you really listen to it by translating what he read in Romanian. It comes from the Bible. It comes from Job 26, verses 13 and 14. Matter of fact, I'll read it right out of the Bible because he did too. Verse 13 says this, "His breath," God, "His breath made the skies bright and clear. His hand wounded the serpent that glides through the sea. And those are only on the edges of what he does. They are only the soft whispers that we hear from him, so that we can understand how very powerful he is." See, God's whispers, like the mutterings, the edges of what God speaks, literally created everything that we see and experience today. Like he breathed like a small whisper, everything we know, bam, created. Here's what I know. We need to know the language in order to listen effectively. We need to know that Julian was speaking Romanian, and we need to know what those words are in order to effectively listen to it. Sure, we can hear Julian speak. We can hear other people talk, but if we don't know the language, it's very difficult for us to follow or act on it. It's very difficult for us to listen to what's being said unless we can pursue understanding. And if we can't translate it or interpret what's being said, it's very hard for us to do that which was being spoken to us, to follow it. Listening is key. Listening is also very helpful, okay? Earlier this week, my wife asked me to stop by the store on the way home. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you, because a lot of you are sitting next to your wives. But how many of you hear your wives, but you don't listen all the time? Okay, I heard my wife tell me what I needed to get. I even wrote it down, all right? Last on the list was, "Can you bring home a chocolate milkshake?" She'd been sick all week, and I thought, I will bring home a chocolate milkshake. You know what I do? I get to the store. No, I didn't forget. See, I heard her. They had a coffee-flavored milkshake. I thought, she loves coffee. I'll get her a coffee milkshake, right? Okay, apparently a coffee milkshake that has double the caffeine at 9:30 at night is not what she wants you to bring her, okay? I was not listening. I only heard her, okay? Or maybe some of you have parents or grandparents, and you FaceTime them, and they can hear you, but they can't see you, or better fact, they can't see me because they can't figure out how to turn the camera around. And so they're staring and they see me, but all I see is like the couch and other areas in the room. And I'm like, Mom, hit the button that turns it around. Where's the button? I can't find it. She can hear me, but she's not listening. Not listening how to turn it around, right? Students, I get it. You have listening problems as well. On Tuesday, many of you start back to school, right? You know, though parents or moms and dads are like, but on Tuesday, some of you are going to hear from your teacher, okay, here's your assignment, it's due on Friday. And you're going to hear that, but you're not going to be listening. And so when Friday comes around, the teacher's going to collect it, and you're going to be like, I thought you meant next Friday. The teacher's going to be like, were you listening? And you're going to be like, no. Okay? Listening is very helpful. If we listen, everything seems to go a little smoother. See, when Julian read that scripture, many of us, we're trying to listen, but what happens is we were confused, and so we kind of lean back a little bit. You were like, I don't think he's speaking English. I'm not real sure. You kind of got maybe a little confused. Like, I'm not sure what's going on here. But a few of you, matter of fact, more than a couple, because I kind of looked around, you kind of leaned in a little bit. You know, or you did the ubiquitous, like you squinted, like, what's he saying? Like, for some reason, squinting is going to help you hear more. I don't know. Okay? I even did it, and I knew this was coming. And so I looked, and some of you were like, what? And you maybe even you turned your ear. You, like, tried to pick out, is there a word? Is he speaking French? Maybe I can, like, figure something out. You wanted to understand what he was saying, so you leaned in a little bit. You tried to listen a little harder. See, if we want to pay attention to someone or something, we really have two options, okay? We can just hear them, or we can really listen. We can engage. See, hearing is just something that bounces off your ears. You don't really get to control whether you hear it or not. But whether you listen, that you have full control over. Because when we listen, we engage, we take action. We allow it to not just be noise bouncing around our eardrum, we allow it to become a part of who we are, and we move towards it. Now, God is always speaking, but he wants you and I to listen. And so my question today, and for the next 7 weeks in this series, is, are you listening? Now, last week we talked about a cleanup day that was coming on the South Side property on the 8th of September. Do me a favor and forget what I said, okay? If you're really listening right now, just forget what I said. We have to postpone that. There's some government tests that we have to jump through, some more hoops, and they're not going to be done in time for the 8th. So we will be doing a South Side cleanup again. We will be taking down all the buildings and clearing that space out. But just hold on. We're not doing it right now. Matter of fact, if you want to help with that, talk to me or Doug Pence, especially if you can run like heavy equipment, skid steers, backhoes, things like that, because we're going to need help doing that. But just, whoa, we said we were doing it. Now we're postponing it. Are you listening? You guys got it? Okay, see what I did there? Okay, that was good. Okay. That was a bad joke. Have you ever asked the question, what's my purpose? Like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Like, what is it that I really should be about? What's my life supposed to mean? I'll be honest, I've done it. I still do it from time to time. Got it. Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this really my purpose for today, this week, this month, this year, this time? Is this really the calling you've put on my life? I still ask that question, and here's what I'm learning through the continual asking of that question. That oftentimes I get frustrated with what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. But that's the wrong thing to be frustrated with. What I really should be frustrated with is why I'm not hearing what I'm supposed to be doing or being about. See, our problem is not an action thing. It's not a doing thing. It's an attention issue. It's not, am I doing the wrong thing or am I doing the right thing? Is it, am I listening to the right one? See, a lot of us have like a spiritual or even a purposeful ADD. It's not diagnosed. There's no medicine that fixes it. But we kind of like go all over the place. We focus on this and then this and this and this and this. And it's never the right thing, we feel like. We have this like ADD of everything. If you feel like that, can I let you know on something? It's not all your fault. A lot of times people like to tell you, oh, that's not your fault. Oh, yeah, that's your fault. As a pastor, let me tell you, if you're struggling to hear your purpose, if you're struggling to listen to God, it's not all your fault. Reason number one, it's not your fault. Our world is loud. There is a lot of voices. There is a lot of noise talking, and it's by going past you and in you and through you and all around you. Matter of fact, this last week I had a friend who's like a networking genius, okay? And we were having networking Wi-Fi issues in the kids' wing. Maybe some of you like were a part of it. Like we kept dropping connection signal. And so I asked him to come in, and he looked at it for a couple seconds, and there's all this like gobbledygook on the screen. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're looking at. It's like this blue screen with all this typing. And he goes, oh, I know the problem. He goes, your access points are on the same channel. And I was like, that's a good thing, right? He goes, no, that's a bad thing. He goes, with Wi-Fi, here's what happens. It's like you or your device goes over there and you start listening to one person, but you have another person who's yelling things at you. And so you start paying attention to that person. And pretty soon your attention is being bounced between two different people. He goes, that's what's happening to your devices. They're bouncing back and forth between two and they can't maintain a strong signal. And I was like, oh, can you fix that? He just fixed it. He just made it work. But this is what happens in our life. So much is being talked around us and back and forth. We can't focus on just one voice. That's why it's hard to hear God speak. The other reason that it's not all your fault that you can't listen to God speak is you don't know the language. When Julian was reading that scripture verse, not many of us know Romanian. We struggled to understand because we don't know Romanian. We don't know the language. We don't know the language that God's speaking to you. What if the reason you're not able to listen to God is because your ear isn't trained to listen to the voice of God? Here's the third reason, that it's not all your fault that you can't hear all that God wants you to listen to. See, we live in a world that's really loud and busy, and we talked about that. But here's what happens. If someone wants to get your attention, and we know it, if I want someone to get my attention, I just expect my kid to yell louder. Okay? Like, and they, like my kids know that. Matter of fact, my wife knows that. Like, if she yells in a certain voice, yes, babe. The louder you get, the easier it is for me to understand. I'm so used to being inundated with all this noise that the louder voice wins. And so I assume if God really wants my attention, he'll just speak in his outside voice. Now listen, God can speak in his outside voice sometimes. But if he really wants your attention, he does the exact opposite. If God really wants your attention, he speaks in a whisper. Matter of fact, try this for me. Turn to your neighbor, someone next to you, okay? And just whisper, God is speaking. Just go ahead and do that. I don't want to hear you. Just whisper to your neighbor, God is speaking. Okay? Did everyone whisper to somebody? If you didn't whisper to somebody, you better get by a neighbor real quick. Whisper to them. Now, did you notice? Matter of fact, the definition of whispering is to speak softly with one's breath. Whispering, the definition of whisper literally is to speak with your breath, not your vocal cords. If you use your vocal cords, you're speaking. If you shut your vocal cords off, you're whispering. See, when you whispered to your neighbor, almost everyone, I looked, almost everyone did this. You leaned in. You got a little closer to your neighbor. You spoke a little softer. a little quieter. See, God wants us to lean in, to draw closer to him. That's why he whispers. Matter of fact, if you were the one being whispered to, what did you do? You probably leaned over a little bit. You probably got a little closer to the person who was whispering because you're like, I want to hear them say it. And our natural reaction to hear a whisper is to get a little closer to that person. I always love it. Especially I do children's ministry all the time. When I wanted their attention, I wouldn't yell louder. I would start to whisper. Because I was never going to compete with 60 voices of little kids. God knows that we are his children. And he's never going to compete with us trying to yell louder than each other. So he's going to whisper to us. Matter of fact, if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. If you don't have your Bibles, download the Bible app, go to the More section, there's an events tab, and it'll allow you to see all of our notes today, all our scripture verses. But I want to read a story in 1 Kings 19, chapter 11. And it's a story of a prophet named Elijah, and it showcases perfectly how God speaks to us. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 says this, "The Lord said," so the Lord's talking to Elijah, "go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." See, Elijah had just left like some bad dudes, a real bad situation. He'd run out. God had called him out to like middle of nowhere. He said, go to this mountain, okay? But now God's saying, hey, listen, hey, come on out. I'm about to pass by. Continues, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Do you notice? When the powerful wind came, it tore apart the mountain. What did Elijah do? Kind of backed up a little bit, you know? If wind is tearing apart a mountain, I'm backing up. Then an earthquake came. Man, if I'm in the middle of an earthquake, what are you doing? I'm seeking shelter. I'm backing up a little bit. I'm looking for some help. Or a fire. When a fire comes, what are you? Hey, sweetie, you don't run to it. No, you run away from it. Elijah, even though he's waiting for God, because he knew God was going to pull, was going to come by. That wind, earthquake, fire, what's he do? Backs up a little bit. And then, a gentle whisper. Matter of fact, the King James Version of the Bible says a still, small voice comes. What's Elijah do? He comes right out to the edge. Now, he knew that God was coming, so he covered his face because no one could look under the glory of God and live this side of heaven. And so he covered his face, but he knew this was God. And what did he do? He leaned in. He got a little closer. He allowed the relationship with him and God to be a little more intimate. The still, small voice is how God spoke to Elijah and how he most often speaks to you and me today. But are we listening for it? Are we listening to it? See, I think that many of us hear God. I think we even see and sense God. But we don't understand what he's saying. Like, it's there, but it just becomes a part of the noise that's happening in and around us because we can't interpret it. We don't understand the language or what he's saying. See, the only way to hear a whisper is to be quiet. To be around silence. to lean in. But what if you're doing all that? What if you're leaning in? What if you're being quiet and you still don't understand what he's saying? What if none of that makes a difference? Because you don't understand the language that God's speaking to you. You can't interpret it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, talks about how God is speaking to us in ways that we're all familiar with. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, beginning of this great theological book, the writer starts with this. He says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. See, God can use multiple ways to get our attention. He used a still small voice with Elijah. He used a dream with Jacob. He used visions with Isaiah. He used a bush that was on fire for Moses. God can use tons of different ways to get our attention. And now, he uses his son. Literally, God became like you and me. Put on flesh and blood and clothes and spoke to us through the person of Jesus. And this I know. In all these different ways that God can speak, that God is speaking to us, he will always use the most effective language, his most effective way of communication with you at all times. And some of you are like, yeah, right. I've never heard him. Never heard him. God, my listening or God speaking must be broken with me. Well, you're in a good place and you're in good company. Because over the next couple weeks, we're going to look at 7 different languages that God speaks that is common to all of us. We've probably heard or seen or sensed God move in every single one of these, but we weren't listening. Our ear wasn't tuned. We weren't trained to really listen to what God's saying. I read a book. It's a new book. It's called Whisper by a guy named Mark Batterson. He's a pastor out in Washington, D.C. And he wrote this book. And in it, he goes through every single one of these languages that we're going to study. As a matter of fact, when you leave today in the commons area, if you want to pick one of these up, I would highly encourage. It is a great read. Pick one up. Matter of fact, if you're like, I don't really want to read, but I do want to dive in a little bit deeper, join a small group. If you're like, I don't want to join a small group by myself, invite a friend. That's why I gave you a card. Okay, you write it down, then give this to a friend and say, listen, come with me. We're going to go on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights or whatever works for you. Because we're going to unpack a little bit of what Batterson wrote, what we're going to be preaching on Sunday mornings within those small groups, seeking together, as Pastor Beth said, within a circle of how to listen to God's voice. Because here's what Batterson wrote. Here's how you can encounter God on a daily basis. He wrote this. He said, God speaks through his word, scripture, the Bible. And many of us are like, I get that. Batterson writes, that's our starting point. A lot of us end there. We're like, okay, I read my Bible today. God, do your thing. And we just stand there. Batterson writes, that's our starting point. He also whispers to us through doors and dreams and desires. He converses, has a conversation with us through promptings and pain and people. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack these so we can understand how to listen for God. But let's be real honest, okay? The question really isn't whether God speaks, okay? I mean, we read in the beginning, he spoke and like the whole world was created. Like he just breathed and bam, beautiful skies, sun, earth, you, me, everything. Just boom, created. And he just breathed that. And so it's not hard for us to understand that, okay, God really does speak. That's not the question you and I are worried about. When I ask the question, are you listening? You're like, yeah, whatever. You know the question you are asking? You know the question I'm asking? What is God speaking to me? I'll be real honest. I don't really care what God's speaking to you or you or you. I want to know what God's speaking to me. And if you're real honest with yourself, that's what you care about too. You don't care what God's telling Pastor Preston. You care what God is telling you. And you're frustrated because you can't understand it. So I ask again, are you listening? What is it that's preventing you from listening to God? What barrier? What is it, the struggle because you don't know the language? Is there a barrier that of sin? You can't interpret it because you got so much sin in your life that it just kind of drowns everything else out. Is your life just too loud? Let's be honest. Is there just too many voices competing and God's still small voice gets shoved down in the corner out of the way somehow? What is the barrier for you listening to God? What is it that's getting in the way of you listening to what God is already saying to you? This last Tuesday was a significant day. It was the 55th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Famous speech, profoundly changed culture and history. 55 years ago, this is past Tuesday. Now, I started thinking, I have a dream too. Now, it's not as profound as Martin Luther King. I'm not going there, all right? But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, this dream, God, that you've given me, you've given this church, I think can shape culture just as much as Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech 55 years ago. Because I have a dream too, and my dream is that a whole church, like everyone in Northridge Church, joining online in their PJs or at their campsite on Labor Day or here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, what if an entire church was listening to the same voice of our God, was listening to the same message in their own unique language? What if we were all listening to the same God who's already speaking and just wants us to listen? What if? I think it would change not just the culture of our church. I think it would go beyond changing the culture of our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and our community. I think it would change the culture of our world. Because some of you have been called to change that which is around you if you'll just listen. Long time ago, there lived a guy, his name was Samuel. And Samuel was a prophet. Remember that you got your Bibles, just write down 1 Samuel 3, okay? Just read it later. But before Samuel spoke as a prophet, before Samuel was given a prophetic voice, Samuel needed to listen to the prophetic voice of God. See, Samuel was not always a prophet. He started out as a boy, and he was sent to live with Eli in the temple. And Eli was an old priest. And Eli's job was to train Samuel to learn to become a great priest, maybe even a prophet, someone God could use. And so one night, Eli, who's older, he goes to bed early. You know those old people, he goes to bed early, right? Samuel, young buck, he stays up a little later, but he eventually goes to bed too. And in the middle of the night, Samuel's woken up by his name, Samuel. He hears his name. He's trained well. He gets up. He runs to Eli's room. He goes, I'm here. What do you need? Eli's like, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Matter of fact, his exact words were, I didn't call you, my son. Go back to bed. Samuel, a little confused, goes back to bed. Lays down. Hears it again. Samuel gets up like a good protege. Runs to Eli. Master, I'm here. Eli, he's a little crotchety right now. Now he's like, son, get back to bed. Okay, because I mean, he's waking up twice now. So, you know, Samuel, okay. Samuel goes back, lays down. It happens a third time. Okay, third time, Samuel runs over there. But now Eli's wise to this. Eli goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Samuel, I know what's going on here. Next time you hear a voice call out, I don't want you to run and find me. I want you to say these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel's like, all right, I can do that. So Samuel goes back and he lays down. Now listen, if I've been woken up three times by someone saying my name, I'm going to bed like, you know, like our kids fake going to bed, you know, like this. You know, like one eye open, you're like, I'm not really going to sleep here, but I'm going to pretend. That's what I'm doing. I don't know what Samuel did, but it says he laid down and he heard his voice a fourth time. Samuel. And Samuel sits up. And he doesn't run to Eli. Instead, he cries out. He says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Is God the loudest voice in your life? Have you cried out, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening? God's waiting for us to speak that out. The next 7 weeks are going to help us tune our ears, tune our minds, understand the languages in which God speaks directly to us. It's going to help us raise up God's voice above all the rest that are speaking. See, here's what I know for sure. God is speaking. Here's what I don't know. Are we listening? And the God that we are listening to, he's speaking. See that? But if we're not listening, that's the problem. And the solution is to tune in and to turn up his voice. And that comes with understanding how God speaks, the language that he speaks with us and to us. But like any language, it takes some time, it takes some effort to learn it and to listen. I mean, you don't just wake up one day and know how to speak Romanian, right? Okay, unless you were born there like Julian. If I wanted to learn that, man, it would take me forever. It would take me effort. It would take me concentration, focus, time, so I could understand it. But listen, God's not speaking to us in Romanian. He's not trying to trick us with a foreign language. In fact, he's speaking in ways that we hear, that we listen to every single day. The question is, are we listening? Eventually, Samuel became a great prophet on his own. But it started with having a prophetic ear. It started with listening. It started with praying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Today, I want to end with an opportunity for us to pray that prayer. And at the same time, ask for forgiveness, repent, turn away from all the stuff that's preventing us from listening. In a few minutes, our ushers are going to come and they're going to pass out communion while we sing a song. And I want to invite anyone who has a relationship with Jesus, who's in the family of God. If you have a relationship with Jesus, I invite you. You don't have to be a member of Northridge Church. You just got to be a member of God's family. I would invite you to take communion, to hold the little juice and hold the cracker until all have been served. But I know that some of you are here today and you're like, yeah, that's not me. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I, until this point, wasn't even sure if I wanted that. But you've heard these words. You've listened to this scripture. And you're like, I do want to know my purpose. I would love to hear God's voice and be able to listen to it and follow it in my life. If that's you here today, I want to invite you, before we take communion, to pray and to ask God to be in your life. And so would you bow your heads right now? Everybody, just everyone do this for me. It doesn't matter about your neighbor. It doesn't matter about your friend or your spouse. Just bow your heads and pray this prayer with me, because whether this is your first time or like your 1 billionth time asking God to come into your life, it's special. Because it's tuning your ears to God's voice, not asking God to tune his ears to your voice. And so, if you want to hear, to listen to God's voice, all you gotta do is pray these simple words. So every head bowed, every eye closed, every ear open, all you gotta do is pray this, whether it's your first time or your 1 billionth time. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my forgiver. I admit that I've got sin, but I believe that you can remove it, that you have forgiven it. And I choose to follow you every day. God, I pray for every person who prayed that prayer at some level, who allowed it to go deep inside of them. Lord, I pray that you would help them to listen to you, to follow you, not just today, but every day. To choose to remove sin and invite you in to every corner, every facet of their lives. So Jesus, we welcome you and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Friends, if that was you, if you prayed that prayer at any level, the ushers are going to begin to pass. Just hold one of those crackers and one of those juices. Because you admitted your sin. You believe that Jesus died for them. And now it's time to say, God, wash me clean. Open my ears, because I want to hear you. And let's sing this together.